It's time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joining us this afternoon. Hello, Eric.
Good evening, Richard. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you this afternoon?
I'm okay. I was enjoying that tune, actually. It was kind of getting me in the mood for... actually, I got to be honest. Before I get to be drinking wine, I'm going to the informal last practice of the soccer team that my son's on. It's apparently in the Vine Street gym, and it's an indoor thing. The other coach told me to bring my inhaler. I'm like, oh, that's not. I thought this was a pizza party. I was told there would be no athleticism.
Oh, well, so you'll need some wine later on, then.
I'm going to need a paramedic team, it sounds like. I hope somebody there knows the basics of CPR. I am far from my best days, but that's okay.
You can run with a Mandalorian. I'm confident.
Then you shouldn't be, but that's okay. We're not here to talk about that. We're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about wine. We're going to talk about the Pacific Northwest of the United States today, and try to rip through the rest of the world, essentially, before the world ends, which seems like it's imminent these days if you look at CNN. So I would advise you don't do that. So for those who don't know, and I'm sure probably a lot don't, I went into college, of course, I knew I was going to be a music major because that was just, like, I just loved it, and I loved the prospect of that. But I, of course, in college, you can minor in things, and I really had no idea what that kind of meant, you know. So the first semester of my first year, I happened to take a course in geology from professor who would that year win the Carnegie Mellon Collegiate Professor of the Year Award. So suffice to say, she was no slouch. And I really was like, wow, I think I could do this. Now, when you find out that I did graduate with a minor in Chinese politics, you'll realize that it other things happened. But geology, of course, to anyone who's interested in wine and terroir is obviously very important. So when you talk about the Pacific Northwest, the most important thing I think to think about is the fact that about 11,500 years ago, give or take a year, there was, depending on who you believe, and believe me, there's a whole host of theories about this, but essentially, there was an enormous glacial lake called Lake Missoula, and if anybody's familiar with the western, northwestern part of our country, you'll know that there's a city called Missoula, and it sort of sits at the place where there was about a 2,000-foot ice dam formed from an ice sheet called the Cordilleron Ice Sheet, and it enveloped all of Canada, the Pacific Northwest. The Puget Sound was formed by this, so you sort of have an idea of where you're talking about. And it was this just enormous lake just below the temperature climbs, the freezing climbs. So it was liquid. And depending on who you believe, this ice dam burst anywhere from 1 to 100 times-ish and spilled just ungodly amounts of water down what we now know today as the Columbia River, the Willamette River. If anybody's ever heard of the channeled scablands, and if anybody's interested in these sort of things, there's a guy named Randall Carlson who's been interested in stuff like this for years. He hangs out with some people that perhaps listeners of this program would not adore, like your Joe Rogans, etc. But I'll be honest, he's been studying these things, and when you watch his documentaries, you understand exactly how the sediments that were really, really good for agriculture got there, because there was just these massive waves bigger than anything we can conceive of. When we see tsunamis, when we see the effects of the hurricanes here along the East Coast, for instance, we have no idea. I mean, we're talking 20, 30, 50 times that amount, if not more, sweeping entire chunks of sediments down. Now, what's interesting in the Pacific Northwest is that the winemakers have long known about this, and there is this line that they call the moraine line that is basically essentially where those sediments settled down from, and up above that, there is simply nothing but evidence of erosion. And it is in these areas, both in Washington State, because forget for a minute that Oregon and Washington are different places and Idaho are different places. These were all big swaths of land being carved out, and only now are they, divided up along geopolitical lines, et cetera, which is why parts of, for instance, the Columbia Valley AVA, we were talking about, right, American viticultural areas, straddles those two states, because it didn't matter to the water. So you have tremendous, and anybody who's been to the Pacific Northwest, of course, it's extraordinarily fertile, lots of rain, which is not necessarily great for viticulture, by the way. Remember that. But also remember that half of Washington, in fact, two-thirds of Washington, is in fact desert. Once you sort of go east from Seattle and go over the mountain range, it's desert, like literal desert, the definition of desert with all the rainfall estimates, etc. That's where they're growing the wine. That's where they're growing the grapes, rather. But just if you ever get a chance, again, if you're interested in geology, do take a time to not only look at maps of the area, but also some videos. Again, Graham Carlson does a great job. Like, he takes these huge sweeping videos of how these places have all been carved out. And I think that's really important. We don't talk enough about how the geology was formed. And in terms of what they're growing, obviously, we sort of have an idea. Oregon is being very, very famed for the cool weather grapes, the Pinots, right? Your Pinot Noir, your Pinot Gris. Also, they do Chardonnay quite well, which is, again, indicative of your sort of quasi-Burgundian weather patterns. However, they have distinctive terroir, including something very famous called the Jory Dirt, which, again, was brought by all these sweeping floods. And then in Washington, because of their climates, they're growing, interestingly, fabulous both Bordelaise and Southern French grapes. So you're getting Cabernet, Merlot, Syrah, Riesling, interestingly, in all sorts of different terroirs that are in this sort of desert carved out area. It's really quite extraordinary. Now, with Washington, it's important to remember that two-thirds of it, really, this is serious, fully two-thirds of the owned vineyard land is owned by Chateau Saint-Michel, and they were just bought by Constellation. So there's a lot of corporate investment in Washington. Doesn't mean the wines are bad, just means that it's something to keep in mind. When you're looking at Washington State wines, it's a lot of little people trying to make it, and then a really, really big conglomerate. Oregon has probably, at this point, the last time I made a note, it was 702 plus wineries. There's probably over 800 at this point. So it's much more independent, freewheeling, but you are starting to see some people gobbling up other people there, too. Nature of the beast. How am I doing on time?
Carrie says 2 minutes.
2 minutes. All right. Very good. So just a brief history. Grapes first planted in Oregon that we have note of in 1847, and down in Washington very shortly after that. So you really aren't dealing with the sort of long, long history that we were talking about last week with California, with their Mission grapes, with their it really took, frankly, a lot of cojones to plant in some of these places. In fact, for instance, the founder of Erie Vineyards in Oregon, that's E-Y-R-I-E, that, you know, like a, like Eagle Eerie, not scary, like Here We Are with Stephen King. He literally, people, when he planted in Oregon, and this is in the 60s, people thought he was out of his freaking mind. Like, okay, you have fun and go throw away your money. So just really quick, just to extrapolate, with climate change and with everything going on, if anybody wants to invest in cold weather grapes up here in like Maine, and people are going to call you nuts, I would say in about 20 years, you're probably not going to be considered nearly as nuts as you think. I would sort of start to take inspiration from these places that were not planted as recently and that had some daring people, because I think this is, especially Oregon, is going to be an interesting model, and also the Finger Lakes of New York for us, as well as the area around Seattle. Not to be forgotten, it doesn't make great wine yet, but they're very wet and doing a lot of the same grapes we are here in Maine. So just stuff to look out for, folks, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Eric. Good luck tonight.
All right. Go Giants. Bye-bye.
Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, Message in the Bottle, Tuesdays on Downtown.